But I do want to talk to you this morning. I want to talk to you about struggle. There's a very old saying. It's been around for a long time. The struggle is real. You ever heard that? I know I'm dating myself. That's 1,000 years old. I still say it to myself when things like shopping carts get the best of me. You're just rolling the shopping cart and all of a sudden it gets loose from you and it's in some kind of just all the cereal goes everywhere. Struggle is real when you can't defeat the shopping cart. There's this rule that you got to be 5% smarter than what you're working with. Anybody ever struggled with one of those bags in the supermarket that just will not come open? It just won't. And it's like, you know what I'm talking about, that you put your vegetables in and you just and people around you are just like pow, and they're opening theirs and just throwing their veggies right in. And you're like, and when you finally get it, it's literally like you're having to, right? It's just the 5% rule. You just got to be 5% smarter than what you're working with. It's crazy. The struggle is real. I have some pictures to show you. School is back in session, baby. The struggle is real. Because all professors think that their class, all teachers think that their class is the most important. And I don't think that they talk amongst themselves about the level of responsibility that they are giving all of their students. I think they go and sit in their teachers' lounges and just chat about the world. And they don't talk about the fact that all five of one kid's teachers give them an assignment for the following week. And there's papers and there's tests. The struggle is real, man. Anybody ever tired? Anybody ever struggle with energy? Have you ever gotten a full night's sleep and then you've awakened just exhausted? What is that about? My brain, you should be thankful that you don't have my brain for lots of reasons, but here's one of them. My brain just will not shut down, and so I get max a night 6 hours of sleep. Max. Sometimes between 4.5 to 6. And after a while, eventually my body just finally, you know, just kind of lets it go, and I'll get about 8 hours of sleep. But I get 8 hours of sleep once or twice a year. I've clocked it because I thought something was messed up. I've been to counseling, and they're just like, look, some people, man, just run at a really high speed, and you're one of those people. And I have anxiety, but that's none of your business. Anyway, I struggle with that. There are days, sometimes weeks, that I go by, and this is what I just thinking about everything that I have to do. I'm like this poor pug that just is laid out. My clothes are noticeably dirty, so now I have to do the laundry. It just never, laundry and dishes never stop. They just never, I mean, I guess if you live in some kind of world, and I know that there are these people because I've read these stories, people who never wear the same clothes twice, people who have enough income or who are mentally irregular enough that they just won't wear the same clothes, so they wear something and then they throw it out. They won't eat off of the same plates. I know that there are people who have those challenges or maybe opportunities. I don't know how you want to look at that. I'm not one of those people. The laundry just keeps piling up. I just finished my 6th load of laundry yesterday. I did all the laundry because my wife has been handling the dishwasher. She did 5 loads in the dishes. Don't come to my house without telling me first, okay? Let me preface. If you ever want to come and visit, you need to let me know that you're coming so that we can hide everything in a room that you won't go in. The trash. Just after a while, when you walk in, you just have to take it out because it just reeks. And my wife has this thing where we'll walk in the door and she'll just go. And I know what that means. That means that finally and at last, the garbage, which has who knows what in it, has to go out. Sometimes you just need bacon, people. Sometimes you have just got to have some bacon. Sometimes the struggle is real. Listen, God knew what he was doing when he created the pig. He knew what he was doing. He was like, they don't know yet, but one day they will know. And I can't believe his folks didn't get to eat it for thousands of years, man. I feel for them. It breaks my heart, and some of them still don't, and I think, bless your heart. I hope that you will release yourself of that at some point, my friend, and know what bacon is. You can dip it in chocolate. You can do all kinds of stuff, and sometimes you just got to get out your straightener and just be like, I got to have some bacon. I don't have anything to cook in my, you know, you can't have hot plates in my residence hall or my dorm room, if you still call it that. Just, yeah, let's get the fat going. Let's make it happen. Man, the struggle is real, isn't it? We have different types of struggles on different levels in our lives every day. Traffic is my struggle. You know this. I'm very transparent. I keep hoping that as you, as my therapists, will eventually, as I process this traffic thing, eventually I'll just let it go and be free. Hallelujah. That if I just keep telling you about it, I'll hold myself accountable and not be so terrible on the roads. The struggle is real. I want to share with you some verses today which have been challenging for me. They used to make me angry. They don't anymore. I've finally grown past that, and by used to, I mean like last week. I was angry. I was angry with this verse again. because there are these verses that are just so challenging. And this time it's not Paul. You guys know how I like to pick on Paul, because Paul likes to say these just ridiculous things. I've learned what it's like to be rich or poor. I'm great. If you're looking for an example, check me out. I'm like, seriously? Talk about, anyway, sometimes it's Paul, but today, it's a little bit harder. I feel a little bit weirder, because we're going to talk about something that James said, James, the brother of Jesus. We're going to be in James chapter 1, and if you've never heard this verse or ever seen this verse written on anything or ever never heard a message about it, I feel like most of you probably have. This is pretty famous. I got 4 points for you today, and then we're just going to thank God for what happened this morning and the breaking of all the spiritual oppression that happened today in your lives and in the lives of the people around you. Here's what I know, and I want to say this quickly while you're going there. God is going to use you to break the spiritual oppression in the lives of other people. He's going to use you to do that through your prayer. He's going to use you to do that through your witness and through your testimony. God's going to help you help other people who either give the devil too much power or they refuse to recognize him because they're afraid of him. James chapter 1, this is verses 2 through 4. There's a little bit of controversy about whether or not this was James, the brother of Jesus. I think there's always going to be until we get up there and finally these people were like, yes, I wrote that. Stop asking the question. What is wrong with you guys? James was an interesting guy. He had an interesting journey. He was one of the non-believing family members when Jesus went back to his hometown. Said even his family was questioning. They were like, who does he think he is? Feel confident James was probably one of those guys, even though it doesn't call him out specifically. But as time goes on, James clues in. He understands that his brother, his half-brother, Jesus, was indeed the way, the truth, and the life. And James becomes a leader in the church, specifically the Jerusalem church. And if there was a place you didn't want to be the leader of, it was in the place in Jerusalem where the old was constantly warring with the new, where the religion was constantly trying to overtake the relationship, where the old covenant was constantly trying to reassert itself over the new covenant, where the law just wouldn't be silent. And James was the head of that church. Right? That's the tough one. He didn't get to go at one of these startup churches way out in Damascus where everybody was like, woohoo, the Holy Spirit and Jesus, everything is great. Now I just got to figure out how to stop drinking. It wasn't that. It wasn't that easy peasy kind of thing. It was, you know, he was dealing with all the upper echelon of the religious right. James learned over time what it was to struggle, what it was to be challenged, what it meant to truly have to depend and to lean on God for wisdom and discernment, for knowledge, to know what to do in these situations, how to keep these two groups of people together, how to find that middle ground of too much freedom is a bad thing. You can't keep doing the dumb stuff and still worship Jesus. That's not how that works. At some point in time, you got to have some personal responsibility to your life. And also, you can't have your 613 to-do list. You can't do that. That's not how this works. That was James. I'm reading out of the New American Standard. This is what he says. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I don't even get through the first 7 or 8 words of that without being frustrated. Some versions say, consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy. Bacon is pure joy. The Georgia Bulldogs winning is pure joy. And the Clemson Tigers as well, because then it's happiness in my house. Pure joy. I can point to you some pure joy, but consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. 4 things I want to share with you about these verses today. The first is this. When James says, consider it all joy, my brethren, he's saying change your perspective. Consideration is an issue of perspective. Change how you think. For instance, if I'm driving, I'm on 95, and invariably that person speeds past me, cuts me off, and slams on their brakes. If I change my perspective about them, that they are not saved and they do not deserve good things in their lives, that I hope that at some point they get a ticket for their troubles. If I change that perspective, and if I just think that this person is a person who, just like me, thought they needed to be somewhere, got over, and then suddenly their contact lens fell out, or their coffee spilled, or their phone rang, or maybe they just had a knee-jerk reflex and hit their brakes. It's how I think about things. It's how you think about things, about the challenges that we experience. I get so frustrated. All we needed was some cilantro. We're doing this Whole 30 thing, okay? And Whole 30 is this whole idea that for 30 days, you eat, it's one of those, it's not, I want to, okay, it's a diet fad. It's one of those things where you just cut out the bread, you break up with bread and say, no more, you and me, we're done. And you stop drinking the sodas and you cut down big time on the sugar, right? You try to eat good things, non-processed, blah, blah, blah. And all we needed was some cilantro. It makes me nutty when I go to the store and I finally, because you know they change it every 6 months, they turn the aisles around and they intentionally, anyway, because they want you to walk around the whole store. And you walk up to what you need and you're like, oh, there it is. And it's just like this darkness all the way to the back of the shelf. You know what I'm saying? Everything else, plentiful. You need these things over here? We have 1,000 of them. But your thing, we didn't restock that because we hate you and we knew you were coming. All you need is that one thing. I don't know why that makes me so crazy. I guess because I drove and because I went there and because whatever. If I just change the way that I think about it, okay, they're out. It's not personal. They didn't know that I was coming. They're like, Spearman is coming. Grab his stuff. Run it to the back. You can put it back out when he gets back in his car. Consider it. Okay, what if we backed it down one level? Consider it okay. What if we went from joy? Okay, maybe joy is like a jump, right? That's like that jump. That's that huge leap from one thing to another. What if we backed it down and instead of saying consider it pure joy, consider it okay. Consider it okay when you face trials of every kind. What if we just tried to get there? How would that change how you think about the challenges that you deal with? Everybody's going to have that initial reaction. I'm not trying to steal that from you. Nobody in here is perfect and Paul is dead. So we know that no one has the perfect reaction to the challenges that they face, okay? Paul, I love you, man. I know you're watching. Says so in Hebrews chapter 11, you should come to Bible study. You like how I threw that commercial in there really quickly. I'm not trying to take that initial reaction from you. When bad things happen, you're going to have initial reaction. What your next thought is, though, that's where I want to challenge you. What's the next thing that you think? Can you change your perspective? Can you grab a hold of that thought and go, you know what? Okay, I'm not going to be joyful about this. I'm not joyful about this grade. I'm not joyful about this traffic jam. I'm not joyful about this challenge in my relationship. I'm not joyful about what's going on within me, this weird vertigo thing that just jumped up about this weird anxiety that I'm having. I'm not joyful, but I'm okay. I'm not going to let this push my thoughts to a negative place, which then drives my behavior and my emotions. It's not what I'm going to do. What we think about our difficult circumstances has so much, it's so interconnected and so interlaced with how we feel about things and then how we respond. Have you seen a thing called Facebook? Have you seen what people write on Facebook? Have you seen how much of it is so not happy? Just so we're clear, and this is a freebie, lots of research has been done about social media and how we feel about ourselves. The more social media you intake, the greater you are, the greater level of depression you will experience. It's real research out there. It's not just one or two people going, I think Facebook is bad. Nope. We've got universities who are taking huge population samples. The biggest one that I saw was 3,600 people. They took 3,600 people, they asked them about their social media exposure, and then they gave them a depression and anxiety measure. And people who are out on Facebook 20 hours a week, 3-4 hours a day, 2-3 hours a day, are 3 or 4 times more likely to have a real depressive issue like major depressive disorder, a real disorder, and 7 times more likely to feel bad, worse about themselves than the people around them do. How we think determines so much about how we feel and how we behave. There are two types of circumstances, and I'm going to move quickly through these last three. Two types of circumstances, when we talk about trials, there's outward and there's inward. And here's what I want to challenge you to do. Just to see each of those, whether it's coming from the outside in. You've got a relationship that goes off the rails. You didn't expect it. You didn't see it coming. A friend who's just been bae for forever and suddenly that's broken and you don't know what to do with that. Maybe you don't have to be joyful about that. Maybe just start with being, you know what? This is okay. This is not the end of my world. This is not the end of my world. Maybe you have a thought or a feeling or you have something physical happen within you, and your first response is, this ain't right, I'm not right, this doesn't feel good, I'm scared. Fine, that's your first response. Maybe your second thought can be, but you know what, I'm going to be okay. I don't have to be joyful about the fact that I've got a thing going on within me that I can't explain that is sapping my reserves that, I mean, I can't be joyful about that yet. But I'm going to be okay. Perspective. When he says, consider it all, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, he's talking about perspective. Knowing that the... No, wait. When you consider, or when you encounter various trials. Point one, perspective. Point two, preparation. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when... Notice not an if. Nothing about our faith in any way blocks us from having trouble in our lives. I wish that it did. I wish that faith in God through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit meant you would never have trouble again, but it doesn't. And he said that to his followers. He said, you will have trouble in this life. You are going to have trouble. He said, blessed are you when you're persecuted. Stood up on a mountainside and gave this incredible sermon about what it means to be blessed and how it doesn't mean any of the things that we think it means. And then he said, blessed are you when you are persecuted because of me. We are going to have trouble, ladies and gentlemen, so you need to be prepared for that. I'm not telling you to be, listen, one of the things that I struggle with, my dad brought me up and we would do these driving scenarios. I mean, it came to a place where I was just like, live wire when I was driving, because we would be driving, my dad would be like, what would you do if right now that car came over? What if that car came over into our lane? And I said, die in a fiery, flaming wreck. What do you mean, what would I do? What would you do if something ran out in front of the car? What would you do? And I said, something? Yeah, what would you do if you're driving? I live in Georgia, deer everywhere. Deer, what are you going to do? It's right in front of the headlights. What are you doing? I said, hit the brakes. And he said, not unless you want that deer to come into the windshield. What? He said, don't hit your brakes, just let it hit and then let your airbags come out. The deer will, my dad had all these scenarios. Now, my father, you have to understand, only had sight in one eye and he only had one good leg. So my dad was constantly running things in his mind. What would I do if? What am I going to do when? He wanted to be prepared because he needed more reaction time, right? What if you left here today with that, just demystified about the fact that I hope my life is good for forever and nothing bad ever comes my way? What if you stopped seeing the difficulties that you're experiencing as God's lack of care or concern for you? What if you stopped seeing him as the person who turns away to let you experience that thing? What if you stopped seeing it that way? What if you just left here going, you know what? I'm going to praise God in the good times and I'm going to be ready for the bad times because he's enough. And I'm not going to be joyful about all the bad things that come my way, but I'm going to be okay. Perspective, how you consider things. Preparation, knowing that it's just a matter of when, not a matter of if. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. There is a provision for those of us who love God, who experience difficult times, and that provision is endurance. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. No. What you want, provided in that moment, is no trouble. Here's what all of us want when we face challenges and struggles. We want to say, God, take it away. And God goes, whoop. That's provision, baby. Who doesn't want that kind of provision? When I'm hungry, may food manifest. No, let me be specific. May a steak manifest in Jesus' name. That's provision. When I'm out of gas, I need some stranger to come up and say, the Lord just said for me to give you $20. Amen, that's provision. How is endurance provision? But that is provision. It says specifically, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to toughen up. We have got to toughen up. We have got to stop seeing every small thing that goes wrong as some monumental challenge for our faith. I knew a guy who got saved every Sunday. I'm not kidding. Every Sunday he came to my church, he would pray that the Lord would save him because he felt like in the interim weeks, he would see things that didn't make sense to him. He was like, if this is happening to me, I must not be saved. We had lots of conversations about that. And ultimately what it came down to was the only time he ever talked to God was on Sundays when he asked God to resave him. I said, that may be your challenge, bruh. You may want to spend a little more time thinking about God. We have got to toughen up. Endurance is just simply about maturity. We got to grow up, ladies and gentlemen, and understand that there are challenges. And even in the challenge, God is still God. We have got to stop saying that God has left this or God has left that. If I hear one more person, and please hear me, this is my own thoughts and my feelings. If I hear one more person say that God has left this country, I'm going to lose it. Because here's what I think. I think he is deep down in the dirt, up to his elbows, in this country right now. I think he is closer maybe than he has been, because I think the people of this nation are turning in a way that they haven't before. I think the church is beginning to get real about her faith and about her mission. I think she's beginning to see that the only thing that does save this nation is Jesus. That's the only thing. I think that's beginning to happen in little bits and in little pockets. I'm hearing stories and I'm seeing these things where the church is standing up in ways that she hasn't before. I call her a she. I hope that doesn't frustrate you, but I just tend to think that she's a she because she's smart. That's just what I think. That's just what I think. There's this provision called endurance. How many times have you tried to figure out what God is doing in your life? How many times have you just in your own brain tried to mull over, okay, I've got to figure out what the Lord is doing here. What lesson do I need to learn from this? I've got to figure out the lesson that I need to learn. How many times have you asked God, what do you want from me? What am I doing wrong? Maybe the point of your struggle is to grow you. And that does not feel good. I remember as a child, there was a span of time where I grew a lot in about a year. I'm not joking with you. I grew close to an inch in 12 months. I remember lying at night, hurting in my body. They say growing pains, that's not a joke. That's not just a saying. I was hurting. I could hear creaking. You try being 6'2" and 149 pounds. That ain't easy, people. And I was there in like junior high. I could turn sideways and disappear. Growing pains are not easy. And what we want is for God to alleviate us from the hurt. We want to take him like we take aspirin and just be done with the pain. We want God to go, okay, over here. No, over here. Now come this way. Be careful. We want God to just walk this straight and narrow path where we are never challenged. And what James is saying, ladies and gentlemen, grow up, because the challenges are there and you need to be thankful for the endurance that is created within you, because then the next time that challenge comes around, you're not destroyed by it. It doesn't take your legs out. It doesn't undermine your faith. You're like, been here, done this, don't like it, but I'm through it already. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Perspective, preparation, provision, and product. The product of your endurance is wholeness. When God has seen you through a circumstance or situation, that can never be taken from you again. The scars of your experience become the foundation on which God builds a testimony and a life of faith that is immune to the schemes of the devil. The devil can say, I'm going to mess with you. And you can say, been there, done that, can't mess with me. I'm standing on that experience right now. The product of endurance is wholeness, where all the gifts of the Spirit, all of them begin to become evident through you. And listen, perseverance, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, perseverance creates those things in you. And I could give you lots of analogies about things that we know that have to struggle with the butterflies and the birds and these different animals, and how literally struggle is built into the created order, and we see things that have to struggle to survive, and we're okay with watching that. We just don't want to be that. The product of your challenge is wholeness and completeness, and a faith that is unshakable. I'm going to read it one more time. Consider it all joy, my brethren. Change your perspective. When you encounter various trials, be prepared, because they're coming, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. That is your provision. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And that is the product. I wish somehow that this life of faith were a blanket of protection, so that you never lost your job. Nobody ever cut you off in traffic. You never had to struggle with the plastic bag that you just want to put some broccoli in. I wish you would never leave your keys in a place that now you can't get to them. I wish you never dropped money down a thing. I wish you never had struggle. I wish that so much for you. But the reality is that we live in a fallen world and we are fallen people. The reality is that God has even seen fit in his grace and his mercy to use the challenges that we face to make us better. not just the good stuff. He wants to give you the good things. Look that up. God wants to give you good stuff. People in your life love you. They want to give you good gifts. I guarantee you that that doesn't compare to what God wants to give you and how much he loves you. But even in his grace and his mercy, the word says that he uses all things. He changes all things. He works in all things to the good of those who are called by his name. The struggle is real. But God is bigger than any struggle you face. I know some of you guys are dealing with some stuff and you are just challenged at greater levels than you've ever been challenged before. I know that. I believe in my heart that what we did 20 minutes ago broke any kind of spiritual influence in that. I believe in my heart that whatever the devil has been doing to afflict you or to affect you was broken in that moment and cannot be repeated and cannot be restarted. There's no opportunity for him to do that again because now you're covered, you're protected, you're safe, and you have discernment. You're not going to fall for the same tricks. But that doesn't change the real life circumstances that are can just be so challenging for us. Depression is a real thing. Can't blame it all on the devil because we know that sometimes the body just goes off. Anxiety is a real thing. Sometimes your amygdala is like, we're in danger, we're in danger, we're in danger, and you're in class. Nothing out here is trying to eat me. This is not caveman times. There's nobody in here trying to take my life. Danger, danger. Well, yeah, and then the panic thing happens and the anxiety. There's lots of stuff that happens in these bodies, and they're so hard. Physical healing is so hard to believe for sometimes. The challenges of your work life and your personal lives, those challenges are real and they are still there. But I'm telling you, if you can begin to change how you consider those challenges, I want to challenge you to be joyful because I think that would radically alter your life. I think if every challenge that came your way, you stood up and you said, amen, hallelujah, bring it on, I think you would change the world. I'm searching for that within myself. I'm trying to find that. I'm trying to get there. But I can promise you this. I'm way further down the road to that than I used to be. Because I started with okay. You know what? Consider it okay when you face challenges and trials of many kinds. There are challenges in your life. And so what I'm going to do this morning is I'm just going to pray as we close this part of the service and just ask God to give you the endurance that you need. To give you the wholeness and completeness that we each and every one of us so desperately need. We need to be complete in our faith and we need to be whole and we need to be strong for the trials that are here and for the trials that are yet to come. If you would just agree with me in prayer, Father, in Jesus' name, be our strength in Jesus' name. Be our strength in Jesus' name. Be our strength in Jesus' name. Give us strength to walk through what we are walking through. God, if there are ways that we are hindering ourselves, if there are habit patterns that we have, if there are relationships that we are a part of, if there are things that we can do on our end to help negate some of the challenges that we have, then give us the strength and the faith to break that stuff off of us. Give us the strength and the faith to change the things that we are doing. But here's what I know. What we do is about 5% of it, and what you do is the other 95. God, be our strength in Jesus' name. Give us what we need to walk through the challenges that we are currently experiencing, these trials which just continue to come. Father, help us to see you in them. We don't have to know what it is that you're doing. We don't have to try to figure out with our finite, broken minds what lesson you're trying to teach us. We just need the endurance. We just need to know that the trial doesn't equal your displeasure, that the trial doesn't equal somehow your unforgiveness of us, that your trial doesn't equal somehow your frustration with us or your disappointment in us. We project all of our feelings on you because it helps it make sense. And the way that it makes sense is terrible because then we feel like you don't like us anymore. Clearly, that's why we're having trouble. None of that is true, God. In the times of trial, you draw closer than ever. God, be our strength and help us to walk through all of these challenges, Lord. See us through to the end. Help us to become whole and complete, lacking nothing. I pray that each and every person in here would begin to experience the gifts of the Spirit coming through them in a way that they have never experienced before. I pray, God, that each and every one of us would begin to see a harvest of the fruits of the Spirit in our lives in ways that we have never experienced. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness and self-control. God, may we see those things begin to grow and produce in us. God, our world needs to see that you are a life-changing God. They need to see a difference in the people who call themselves Christians. And I pray, God, that this is one way that we can show this world that you are alive and well and working. That when we are challenged, we may not jump for joy in this moment, but we're okay. We're not going to let everything that comes down the pipe cause us to doubt, cause us frustration, sink our faith. You're a bigger God than that. Help us, God, through these real challenges that we are having. Be our strength through these trials. And may we show this world what a great and glorious God you are. We love you, Father, and I pray in this last moment that you would seal everything that has occurred in this place today, in our spirits and in our hearts, that you would seal the freedom that we are experiencing, that you would seal the relief that some of us are experiencing, God, that you would seal the hope that has become real and new for some of us, Father, that you would seal even the joy that is beginning to creep around the edges of our consciousness, real joy, not happiness, but real joy, that you would seal the protection that we have prayed out and prayed about here in this place, so that when we leave here, we have no fear of an enemy who cannot touch us. We have no fear of an enemy who cannot affect us. Seal our courage, God. Seal our love and our hope and our faith in you as we depart this place today. And Father, use it through us in the lives of other people. Use us, God. May it not just be for us. May we not just be consumers of your word and your holiness, but may we be producers of your fruit, so that other people can see who you truly are. We love you, God, and we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.